Good afternoon. I believe it has been a good day. How many of you are anxious for supper, hoping this topic won't go over time? Put up your hands. How many of you don't care? Show by the raised hand. How many didn't put their hand up at all? Thank you. We got all of you a little bit of hands-on learning going here. I wasn't sure what the committee had in mind, and I guess I didn't really find out, but we just want to do some things by hand. Thank you for Philip for that last song. If we wouldn't have sung it, we would have sung This Little Light of Mine. And I would have insisted you do the motions for that adult song. I don't think that's a fitting, it's a children's song, okay, but I think that's an adult song, and I would have enjoyed leading you in singing This Little Light of Mine from an adult perspective. You have a piece of paper in front of you, and how many of you took notes on the last talk, or the last two talks? How many? Oh, we got four or five or six, very good. You have your paper out, you have a pen, put the paper in front of you, and take your pen, or pencil would work too. This isn't gonna be hard, and it's not a trick. Write your name. Just your first name, that's all we need. Just your first name. George or Sam or Tom or Philip, whatever it is. Did you write it or print it? What did I say? I said write it. But you maybe printed it. I'd like you to write it. That's what I said. All right, let's just think a little bit about that assignment. How did you know what you were supposed to do? Nathan? Pardon? You told us. But I didn't come over and... Oh, sound waves traveled over there and your diaphragm started to move and that triggered the little bones and they made the sound stronger and the little hairs in the cochlea wiggled. And the message got up here. But then, after the message got up here, try to imagine all the scurrying around of the little neurons up here. As you took your hand, you gripped your pencil, you held your paper with your other hand, and then you, like, gripping a pencil isn't a natural skill. It has to be learned. And then you took your pen and you wrote Arnold. I don't think anyone did. But that's what I am doing. I often think of writing, learn something as elementary as writing my name, writing your name. The tremendous amount of brain activity that is involved in such a simple little exercise. We can talk and we listen, but it seems to me that so many more times we learn much more effectively if we also do. Many of you are parents. Some of us are grandparents. It's always been enjoyable to watch little children learn. Mama, do you sit down in the morning after the breakfast dishes are done with your one-year-old and with your one-year-old child and you give him a lesson, a verbal lesson on how to do such and such? I doubt it. I have never heard of a mother that does that. We put little objects in front of them and we just like watching them learn to reach. They touch, they feel, and then they hold something and they grip something, and if they get the ball, they're so happy because they've figured out how to hold the ball in their hands. We're talking to school boards, and they represent a lot of teachers. It is interesting to consider that the little child from birth until, I don't know, two or three probably, is mostly self-taught. Now, we acknowledge that as the child gets older, then there has to be other persons involved in that teaching process. But as he learns to reach and feel with his hands, it would seem that that is the main method that child has to learn in the early days of his existence. The scriptures use hands-on learning experiences. My favorite passage is Genesis 22. When God called Abraham to offer his son Isaac, we are told in that chapter, verse 12, you know the story. God said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Didn't God know that? Didn't God know that? Didn't God know what Abraham's response would be? Of course he did. Well, why did he ask Abraham to do it? Because he wanted to rivet in Abraham's mind the course, the path to follow for blessing was fearing God and obeying him. I think after 10 years after this event, I'm suspicious that Abraham remembered that lesson to the end of his days. That was a lesson that he had been very much involved in. It took him, it was a 6-day lesson. I don't know if he made up the name Jehovah Jireh or not, but that little lesson taught him that God will provide. God will provide a lamb. And I believe God used that lesson even to teach Abraham that God will truly provide a savior. In the Old Testament, we have many evidences of doing, learning by doing. The whole sacrificial ritual and the high priest and the sanctification of the high priest and the building of the tabernacle and all the sacrifices. Half of the book of Exodus almost and almost all of the book of Leviticus and part of the book of Numbers talks about rules and rituals that they have to follow. And those rules and rituals were given so that they would learn and so that they would understand who God is. Of course, the New Testament teaches ordinances that are earthly practices with heavenly meanings. Perhaps the one that teaches best, I'm not sure if the best, why did Jesus institute the communion service? Why didn't he just give us a verbal lesson that we would read it off twice a year? Why did he institute that we use bread and grape juice? And we eat the bread and drink of the grape juice. And we do that in remembrance of me. God is using a hands-on learning experience on Communion Sunday. Before that, he had his disciples line up in front of him, and he washed their feet for another powerful lesson. Peter said, "Oh, no, not me." But Jesus said, "Thou shalt know hereafter." I don't know how long it took Peter to really understand what Jesus was doing that day. A number of the disciples had various opinions about their role in the kingdom and their role as they climbed up the ladder and who wants to be on the top. Jesus used a very powerful message to try to illustrate to them, to give them a hands-on learning experience of some of the basic principles of life. Learning in this way is a good way. Learning by experience is a pretty sure way. We often say that it's too bad. Sometimes the tuition is too high. But probably you'll pass the test if you learn by experience. Someone said, tell me, I'll forget. Show me, I may remember. Involve me, and I will remember. Let's go to the classroom. I realize we have not many teachers here, but we influence policies in our classrooms. I believe it is good to have students doing rather than just sitting there and trying to absorb what you are saying. Even in the preschool setting, we wrote our names and we said, by writing our names, you are stimulating so much brain activity here. And when the brain is stimulated, why then you learn. In the preschool, encourage your children to learn to draw, to learn to color. We have a whole array of, we're not quite there yet, but the garage sale season will soon be beginning, and we can go garage sailing every Saturday, and we go through even high-end neighborhoods, and we buy box full of toys. Buy things that force them to use their imagination, buy toys that help them to make it a hands-on learning experience. I have a very, very little appreciation for teaching students, for teaching children how to push buttons. I personally believe that pushing buttons is a very poor way for a child to learn good, solid learning materials, methods. Push button, he doesn't get the right answer. Oh, push another button. That doesn't take any thinking. It doesn't take any thinking at all. In the classroom, use the blackboards. Some people call them chalkboards. Some schools might be struggling with whiteboards. That's okay. School boards, be sure that your classroom has a very adequate supply of blackboards or whiteboards and good writing material, excellent chalk. There's different grades of chalk. This isn't a very big item at all, but buy the most expensive grade of chalk. Most expensive. Don't try to look for the cheap stuff. It's junk. It's soft, and you'll just mess up your boards and your shelves and the teacher's trousers and everything. What all can you use the blackboard for? Well, there are loads of things. Grade 1 and 2, they're learning to form their letters. You go to the blackboard and you make a big letter and you form it. And you write some more and you write some more before you go back to your book and try it on there. In my classroom, I find I have students that don't know how to have so much trouble making a treble clef. So I take my staff liner and go from the one wall right across to the other wall. I have blackboards right across the front of my classroom. I do a double and I send them all up and have them making treble clefs. It is so simple. I could have them doing it at their desks, but I couldn't. No, you have to come down and you cross and then you come around again and you cross at the D line and circle around and with practice, they will eventually get it. New math concepts. I was starting to teach my eighth graders how to solve equations 2 weeks ago. I have a very strong opinion about how equation solving should be done. And I wanted it done the way I wanted it done. So I sent them to the blackboard. And then one day they worked all day at the blackboard. Did them like I wanted to have them done, and the next day, I think they went back to the board a bit to get started, and then they worked at their desks. And I think that was the best method that I've ever used to teach students how to solve math equations. Many times, students are told to draw their problems. Draw their problems. I know a teacher who says the best teacher in the whole world is your pencil. Sometimes it's modified and said the piece of chalk is a wee bit better. But a pencil is the best teacher. Grabbing a pencil, grabbing a piece of chalk, and start drawing what you're trying to do has an amazing stimulus, mental stimulus. Many times, students say, I can't get this problem. Well, go to the board and do it. Go to the board and do it. And it's amazing how many times you're busy with another class, and 2 minutes, he's not at the board anymore. Well, how come you're not at the board? Well, I did it, and I figured it out, and it was easy. Yeah, many times. That's just a natural thing, making corrections. I have some opinions on making corrections. Many times students are really bogged down with corrections, and I don't like to see that. I teach upper students. Many times we make corrections at the board. And I'm busy with another grade and maybe not necessarily paying attention. I want to see your work before you rub it off and sit down. And found my answer, right? I found the problem right away. Also in the classroom, I believe hands-on arts and crafts must be encouraged. I don't think it's a good trade-off to skip art and play ball. I don't think so. I think arts and crafts, that hands learning experience, I think is very valuable. Penmanship, whatever that, it's not what it used to be. When I was in public school, we had to prepare a written piece of literature of some sort for the fall fair. I never won a prize. But we all had to go through it because handwriting was considered a valuable skill in those days. My students, if I let them, most of them will print yet because they don't even want to write. That's pathetic. I told one or two of you something I tried this year. My grade 9s and 10s, we're studying Canadian history, and I make up the tests. And the first test, they did poorly. And I thought, there's got to be some way around this. So I told them, I'm not ashamed to admit this. I'll give you 25 bonus percents if you make up a history study sheet. One sheet of paper, you can use both sides. You can put as much on as you want. You may not have it in front of you when you're doing your test, but I will give you 25 percentage points extra if you make up a study sheet. They all made a study sheet. They barely needed the 25 extra bonus marks. To me, I don't know if you know why or not, or why they didn't need the bonus marks or not. But studying and taking your pencil and writing is the surest way to learn. And remember, I might try to do it and tell them no bonus marks next time. But I want you to make a study sheet anyways. But they want those extra marks, so they make thorough sheets. And writing things out is a major learning exercise. Note taking versus filling in the blanks. We've heard some things about workbooks today and some things about note taking and note writing. There is a huge difference between taking notes and just filling in the blanks. Well, if you look in the second paragraph on page 27, you can see the word that goes in the blank. Maybe. That'll get a good grade, perhaps, but I'm not sure if it enhances learning. Creative writing. I have said already, I think our students should draw every day, they should sing every day, and they should have to write every day. I was never able to make that all happen, But I think those areas of study would be very valuable. Creative writing, so much is involved in taking your pencil and writing something down, thinking it first of all, and then going through all the processes of writing it down. I know a successful author who says he doesn't believe in composing at a keyboard. His wife does reams of typing. You can debate that amongst yourselves. Apprenticeships, of course. Teacher apprenticeships are valuable. You can learn a lot of theory. Robert, I'm not sure where you are, but I assume your teachers teaching teachers is going to get the beginning teachers into the classroom, conducting lessons in the classroom, because that is where you really start to learn. Keep your hands busy in the coming days.